If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. This is the final story that we read from the life and the ministry of Elisha from 2 Kings chapter 4. As I read this story from 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, this man comes and he brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, full ears of corn, in the husk thereof. And he said, the prophet of God took this offering, and he said to his servant, give to the people that they may eat. Well, his servant said something like a lot of servants might say if they're not operating in revelation knowledge. He said, why? Do you ever have a child ask you why? And his servant said, well, why should I set this before 100 men? And the prophet again said, I'll tell you, when the prophet of God says again, you better listen. You better listen. He said, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. There's going to be leftovers. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. I couldn't tell you how many times I have prayerfully and carefully read these three verses over the past few days, because I see this theme emerging of positioning for divine provision. And this thing is becoming stronger in my spirit the further I go, that we literally can and do position ourselves for divine provision. Even though it is grace, I reverently say that Calvary Cathedral International has sown seed and sown seed and sown seed. And even during our time of need, we've helped other churches. We've helped other ministries. We have not stopped giving in our time of need. And I really believe that what we're seeing is not only the graciousness of this wonderful group of people, but thank God we have been sowing seed for a long time, and if you sow seed before the storm, God will bring you through the storm. What can you do? There are things you can do. There are things that they did. This eighth miracle of Elisha reads like Jesus feeding the multitudes in the Gospels, as you read in Matthew and as you read in the Gospel of John chapter 6. In 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 42, listen to this. 100 hungry men came to dinner. I wonder what would happen if an usher slipped down the aisle and handed you a note and said, when you go home from church today, there's going to be 100 hungry men waiting for you to prepare for them a meal and to serve them. Some of you would go out under the power and no one would have to pray for you. 100 guest coming for dinner who forgot to tell you that they were coming. So here's the intriguing real life story showing us how that one man's faithfulness fed a multitude. You know, it's not how big the challenge, it's just people obeying God. Can you say amen? And here's what we see. One man, he probably said, I don't know why I'm bringing my first fruits today, but at the prompting of the Holy Spirit, he obeyed and he brought in his first fruits. And it shows how the faithfulness of one man was faithful, and his faithfulness fed a multitude. And I want to show us how our faithfulness positions us for divine provision, for us and for others. Now let's get this picture. It's very simple. Here it is. 100 hungry men have come for dinner. Number two, there's not enough food to feed them. Have a slight problem here. Number three, one unnamed man. He didn't even get his name on a gold plaque. I mean, this man did not even have his name quoted before the congregation. One unnamed man brings his first fruits to the man of God. Now, the fourth insight here is that there were 100 school of the prophets, but one was the designated God-called man of God. Elisha was the pastor shepherd of these 100 men in the ministry. Now, remember, we've got a slight problem. Because the bread of the first fruits, the 20 loaves of barley, and maybe 20 ears of corn was not enough to feed 100 hungry men. Not even 100 men who were not that hungry. And now this far out preacher, this prophet, this shepherd, this radical man by the name of Elisha says to his servant, give the people to eat. Now this man obviously was not operating in the realm of faith. He was operating in the realm of human reasoning. And so he replies literally that this is not enough. The prophet says, go feed them. The servant says, this is not enough. Here's the voice of human reason and the voice of faith speaking. But Elisha said again. My Bible said, Elisha said again. Again. What did he say again? Give the people to eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and have food left over. 100 hungry men. Provision has come, but there's no way to even realistically start to serve these 100 men. But the prophet of God, oh, I love this man. He takes what he has. You know, some people are never content with what they have. What you have is enough. What you have is enough to get started. What you have is enough for a miracle. What you have is enough to start all over again. That pot of oil in the house is your passport to plenty. Your passport to blessing. The creditors may be coming after your two sons. But oh, thank God, what you have in the house makes the difference. So the prophet of God takes this little bit. Now, the servant didn't know that little is much when God is in it. The servant never does anything unless there's all kinds of money and all kinds of provision and all, you know. This man takes no chances. I mean, believe me, this man is Mr. CPA. But the prophet of God says, servant of God, give them to eat. Can you imagine arguing with Elisha? It's almost like arguing with God. There's not enough. And again, the prophet of God said, again, give them to eat. There'll be enough to eat. Thus saith the Lord, there's going to be food left over. You know, some of you have a barely mentality. You need to get an abundant mentality. Well, if this and if this and if this, God might and maybe we could. No, get yourself an abundant mentality. God is a big God. My God is. And Elisha said again. Thank God he said again. I'm so glad Elisha wasn't like some folks. Well, servant, if you don't think we can do it, I guess maybe we better not try it. Sure was a good idea, and I thought it might work under the right circumstances. But young man, I guess maybe you know more than I do, so we'll just forget this whole project. No, Elisha said again. I want to tell you what, faith is not going to get out of your face. The real faith of God is not going to get out of your face. God's faith is going to stay in your face until you respond. Elijah said again, give the people to eat, for thus saith the Lord. Now we're to a very cardinal thing here. I know that when you preach like this, they can come out of the woodwork. Believe me, and they do. But I'm willing to take that risk because there's a lot of folks that need what I'm preaching today. And for everyone that takes this and acts very foolish with it, there are multitudes of others that really desire to do and to be what God called them to be. And you realize that I'm saying if it's the Word of God, not if it's a pizza dream, not if it's some fantasy, but I mean when you find something in the Word of God that God has spoken and it's in line with God's Word, and that Word is quickened in your heart, you can say what Elisha said. You can say it again and again and again and again in the face of every servant. You can say no matter what you say, the Word works, the Word works, the Word works, the Word works, the Word works. So the servant said it before them. He said, well, I'm just going to prove him wrong. You know, it's amazing how God works around unbelief sometimes. So the servant set it before them, and they did eat. Hey, it's working so far. Let's try it some more. Wouldn't you have liked to have gotten into that servant's head when he sees that multiplying? And he's already said it won't work. The prophet of God said, do it or you're fired. And he just keeps passing out the first fruits and passing out the meal and passing out the barley. And it just keeps working. So the servant set it before them, and they did eat and had food left over according to the word of God. Say it with me. According to the word of God. Now, this fourth chapter of 2 Kings is showing us lessons to remember in positioning yourself for divine provision. So I want you to listen and learn. All right, here we go. First, you can position yourself for divine provision. Say it with me. I can position myself for divine provision. Cornelius discovered this in Acts chapter 10. He just kept praying and he just kept giving. And I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about every area of our life. And here in Calvary Cathedral International, we are constantly teaching you how to triumph in God's best. If I could lock the doors and feed you all week and just do whatever God let us do, I'd like to see every hurting person in this fellowship come to a whole new mentality. Come into a whole new understanding of the kingdom of God. My heart goes out as I see so many people driving such undependable, difficult automobiles, if you could call them that. When I see, and I've seen them come into daycare, mothers coming in with a child under each arm. Some man said, I don't love you anymore. And he walked out and slammed the door and she doesn't even know where he is. And she's working two or three jobs. There's something in this pastor's heart. I'm not going to be content until we all go together. Until we all flow together. Until we see God's blessings together. I'm not content with just two or three of you saying, yes, we're blessed. I want to see every one of you blessed. I remember a lady in our church a number of years ago, God gave her an idea for a business. She had trouble balancing the checkbook, but God gave her an idea for a business. Her husband laughed. He said, it'll never work. She said, well, would you let me try? He said, I'll let you try. Within a period of time of 18 months, she had hired her husband. Fellas, you better listen up when they've got a good idea. You may be working for her before it's all over. And she and her best friend who started the business hired both of their husbands. And now they spend their time going shopping and the husbands are doing all the work. I want you to know little is much when God is in it. You can position yourself for divine provision. Secondly, faith without works is dead. Say it with me. Faith without works is dead. You see, faith is something that you believe, but if you really believe it, you'll do it. Now, there are precious people in this church that look at some of you dear folks who come up and give numerous times, and they said, you know, they've just lost it. No, they found it. There's some of you that would give anything if you could break out of your shell and just have enough faith to do a little bit more. And that's that little bit that puts you over. Faith is something you believe and do. Another insight here is this man brings us this concept. This man brings his first, his best to God. He didn't bring the chicken with a broken leg. Some people come in so proud of what they give to a church. They give the church, and they don't do it around here anymore, but praise God. You know, they'll have something very, very nice, and they bring the junk to the church. That's not it. This man brought his first, his best to God. He believed So he in faith brought his offering, his first fruits to God. Folks, if you believe it, you'll do it. But get ready, I'm going to drop a bomb now. But his gift, his tithe, his offering, his first fruits were not enough to meet the great need of feeding 100 people. I want to say it again. Anything he could bring was not enough. There's a real truth coming your way. And this is where Satan would like to keep us back and keep us from going all the way for God. Anything this man could bring, be it tithe, offerings, first fruits, whatever, was not enough to meet the great need of feeding 100 people. Unless there's something about you that I don't know here today, there's not one person in this room that could write a check that would meet the needs of this entire ministry. And many times Satan, as Philip said in John 6, said, "What are these loaves and fishes among so many? What's my $10 tithe, or what is anything that I could give? What difference could I make? And I'm going to work on it until God reveals it to you like God's revealed it to me. Every one of you are important in this great work of God. Every one of you are part of the chain of blessing and success in this house called Calvary Cathedral International. But all you could ever give would not be enough." Oh, I've had people say, "Pastor, I wish I could write you a $1 million check. Well, I do too. But I hope I don't shock you where we are right now. That would help, but that's not the whole answer. That would help. Believe me, it would help. Half of that would help. But that's not the total answer to where we are right now. If you could write a $10 million check, you say, why are you mentioning money? I'm just giving you some for instances. It's money is not the answer. The bigness of the gift is not the answer. This man's gift could not even start to feed 100 hungry prophets of God. And let me say this, and this is where grace comes in, and you need to get this settled, and then the giving takes care of itself. There's not one song you could sing. There's not one gift you could give. Paul even said in 1 Corinthians 13, if I give my body to be burned and have not charity or the divine love of God, it profits nothing. Oh, when we were back in Bible school, there was a saying, I'd rather burn out than rust out. And I'm sad to tell you that there's some very dear friends of mine that burned out and they're in eternity today. There's a balance in all things. God made these bodies. They need rest. You can't push your mind beyond the outer limits. You've got to back off. Your speedometer may say 120, but try driving that all day out at Texas Speedway, and they'll be picking you up after a few laps. It may say it on the speedometer, but you're not made to run at maximum speed without maintenance and rest. And that's why Jesus himself came apart before he came apart, and why he brought his disciples in. Folks, the thing that I'm trying to say today, nothing I could ever give. And when I started, I've been a working preacher all my life. I've never had 30 days to call my own since we started this church 36 years ago. I had 3 weeks, but that was on the way to India and back. And believe me, that's not a vacation, okay? I think 2 weeks is about the max that we've ever had in any kind of a vacation. And there's no sad story there. I mean, my heart's here. I mean, I love this house. I love the work of God. I've just been a working pastor all my life. I've been busy. But I'm having to understand that I'm having to work smarter, not harder. I'm having to work depending more on God, not depending on me or us as individuals. But listen to me. Here's what I want you to get. Nothing you could give would be enough. No song you could ever sing could ever be enough. No gift that you could ever give could be enough. No sacrifice that you could ever make would be enough. It would be wonderful and God would reward you for that. But God's not looking for greatness or smallness. God's looking for faith, obedience. This man was obedient in his first fruits. That's the story that God wants us to get. Sure, God wants us to do His best. And I know there's a lot of slackers in life and even in Christian service. But nothing you could ever give, nothing you could ever be, nothing you could ever do is enough. Okay, I got the picture, preacher. So why should I even come to church? Why should I pray? Why should I read the Word of God? Why should I forgive someone that I don't like anyway? Why should I love when I've been hurt so many times? Why should I continue to give? Why should I go out to witness? Why give above and beyond time and talent and whatever else? Ladies and gentlemen, because God takes all of our not enough and multiplies it and blesses it so that every need is abundantly met and supplied. I want to say that one more time. Because God takes all of our not enough and multiplies and blesses it to meet every need and have abundance left over, so that not only may we be blessed, but there's an abundance to reach out and bless others. You see, God doesn't bless our abundance in giving. God blesses our faith obedience in giving. I said God doesn't necessarily bless our abundance. He'll bless anything He tells you to do, you understand. But God doesn't just bless our abundance. God blesses our faith obedience in giving. And I'll tell you something that has profoundly touched my heart since this storm came in March. We've had two very large gifts in the past, at least large to this ministry. It wouldn't be large to some ministries, but we've had the single largest gift, ministry gift, that this ministry has ever received since the tornado from this congregation. And I want you to know it made a difference. It made a difference. You need to write this down. Inconsistency in giving results in inconsistency in living. Inconsistency in giving results in inconsistency in living. We're going to work on this story until we all get it. Let's go over this story until God reveals its truths to us, that our faith and obedience positions us to receive from God. All right, here it is. 100 hungry men are going to be at your house when you get home tonight. So just enjoy this service with all of your heart, because when you get home, there's going to be 100 hungry preachers. And they've usually got a buddy. And they're going to be waiting at your door for you to prepare food for them and to feed them. And even with the help of a mother-in-law, that's still going to be a momentous task. I mean, this is inconceivable. Somebody's going to be in depression if I don't get away from that one. All right. 100 hungry men. A man brings his first fruits to the man of God. Not enough to feed them, nor to supply all of their needs. But it was a seed. It was a seed. It was a seed. You see, I could pick up any one of these love gifts, checks, whatever. And whatever it is, I could say, God, we thank you for it, but it's not enough. But it is enough. You can count the seeds that come in the apple, but you can't count the apples that come out of a seed. It's not enough. The answer to not enough, we give, we believe, we do our part. Because we believe God's word and we give and we go and we do and whatever God prompts us to do. But Elisha said again to his servant, feed the people. Give them what you have. You know what's going to make a difference where you work, in your neighborhood, on your street, in your circle of influence? Give them what you have. Well, if I just had the witness of someone. No, give them the witness that you have. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. I rejoice in the zeal in New York Crusade. I rejoice in the zeal in the Shreveport Crusade. But I want you to know there's just as many needy people in greater Fort Worth and Dallas. Right here in our own Metroplex, people are going to hell. People are living in abject poverty. You'll find little New Yorks and little Chicagos and little Calcuttas, and in the greater area that we live in, you'll find the same thing. It doesn't make it righteous because it's 200 miles away from home. Hunger hurts at home. Not enough money hurts at home. Broken homes and families hurt at home. Well, he said, give the people what you have that they may eat. He didn't say, give them what you have and we'll just see how far it goes. No, he said, give them what you have that they may eat. Give them what you have so that they may eat. What you have is enough for them to eat. Give them what you have. But it's not enough. Yes and no. In the natural, it's not enough, but through God, it is enough. I couldn't tell you the hours that I've spent over these three verses, probably as much as anything in a long time, just poring over it and thinking and meditating and writing it out and praying over it. Because you see, the reason all this happened was, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Everything in this church is built on the foundation of thus saith the Lord. I can go anywhere, do anything, be whatever God wants me to be, if it's built on thus saith the Lord. Now let's go a little further here. According to the word of God. Let me hear you say that. According to the word of God. So he started to set the man's gift before them. And what do you know? They did eat. And there was food left over. According to the word of God. So we keep on praying. Did you ever have such a pressing need that you didn't even know where to start praying and you just bowed before the Lord and you felt so pitifully insignificant and you bowed before the Lord and you said, Lord, this thing's a million times bigger than I am, but you're a million times bigger than it is. What difference does a simple prayer make? The moment you bow your knee in prayer, your mountains start to either move or dissolve. To be cast into the midst of the sea. The moment you start to pray. I didn't say if you fasted 30 days. I said the moment you start to pray in faith believing, your mountain starts to tremble and move. Keep on praying. So we keep on going. We keep on witnessing. As those who have been so thrilled in witnessing lately, you'll go to several. I wished I remember the statistics of Kirby Vacuum Cleaner. But oh, it was way up there. I think I would be safe in saying you'd go to 90 homes before you sold 10 Kirby vacuum cleaners. Years ago, that was the statistics. 90 rejections is quite a bit. You know, they have counseling now for people that are in telemarketing who get phones slammed in their ears. And people curse them and say unkind things to them because after the 10th time you've said no, what else can you say? And so they are so wounded and so rejected and so depressed that they're having to go for counseling because they've been rejected. So we keep on giving. My tithe check. Your tithe check. What is my gift among so many needs? It's a seed. It's going to grow a mighty oak. Your loved ones will come to Jesus. Your family will come to Jesus. You will come out of your situation. Your faith will outlast your storm. Someone spoke to me this morning and said, my companion is not doing very well health-wise. And I want to say, because it was just quickened to me as I was ministering the Word of God, the first report's not the last report. I said the first report's not the last report, and the last report is not the last report when your faith is in God. Don't be overwhelmed by the emotion and the pressure of the immediate. Faith in God is bigger than your storm. So this man in faith obedience brought his first fruits offering to Elisha, the man of God. You know, it's amazing how you keep finding this, the man of God. Boy, that's a reverent term, man of God. And speaking of the prophetic Samuel, how many remember the prophet Samuel? I was reading early this morning how that all that Samuel said came to pass. An accurate prophet. All that he said came to pass. Well, we must move on. This man in faith obedience, remember, brought his first fruits offering to Elisha, the man of God. That was his part. He obeyed and pleased God, but it was not enough. I want to just keep driving this home. Nothing we could ever do, nothing we could ever be, nothing we could ever give will be enough in the natural. But it is. In the natural. You see, it was a seed for the harvest. It was not enough in the natural, but it was a seed for the harvest, which was enough to produce abundance. But you know, the amazing thing was that God said it was enough. Let's just grab a, for instance, that I brought a $10 tithe check this morning. And I look at it and I say, what is this among so many needs? But then I hear the voice of God saying, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. What you have is enough. What you give in faith believing is enough. It's not big enough in the natural, but it's enough. There's a very delicate fine line here. You've got to follow me. All we could ever do, be, give, or whatever, it's not enough in the natural. But when God takes it, when He takes our loaves and fishes, it is enough. You see, my mountain is big. My need is real big. But when I sow my seed of prayer and loving others and believing God's word and walking in love and sowing seed. You know, Joy and I don't only believe in blessing our children and our grandchildren. We can't do everything, but as God leads, we bless other children. We bless other grandchildren. Because I believe that when I make a deposit in someone else's child, God's going to send blessing to my own child. I'm sowing for provision, supernatural provision. This ministry has been very gracious to ministries that are up in years. You know why? If Jesus tarries, I'm going to be there one day. And I'm not going to stand there empty-handed, because most elderly ministers are forgotten when they get to a certain point. As long as they're red hot and they can produce, they're remembered. But you see, I'm sowing seed for the future. I'm sowing seed while I'm healthy and while I feel good and while I still have a lot of juice in me. I'm helping folks that other folks don't want to help. We're sowing into folks that other folks have forgotten. We're loving people that other folks have forgotten to love. Oh, some people will give a big gift if you can just splash it all over everywhere. But God sees the checks in the mail that no one ever sees but the accountant and the office. You know we're doing it. You know we're doing it. I just don't understand how we can let great men or women of God who have served God in the heat of the day and now they're not able to get out and produce and have meetings, and some of them don't have a big mailing list. Most of them don't. I don't understand the mentality of the church that we don't want to bless folks like that. Of all people, we want to bless them. Because all that we send into the lives of others comes back into our own. My mountain is big. My need is big. My vision is big. My dream is big. But when I sow my seed of prayer and loving others and believing God's word and walking in love and sowing seed, it is enough. It is enough. You see, when I pray, my mountain starts shaking. and reducing in size. And I look at it one day and I say, where did it go? They said it went into the midst of the sea. My need is great. The needs of our church are great. But when we praise and worship God, my need starts being met. Hey, it's so much more than finances. I hope you see the other side of the coin here today. You know, every time I want to gripe and complain and just give somebody a piece of my mind, I'm so glad for the revelation that I realize when I give somebody a piece of my mind, I have less to work with. Every time I'm mad and frustrated and just about to go off, and I say, whoa, I've been there before. Wait a minute, I know what I'll do. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I just begin to praise God. Hallelujah. I'm sowing for victory. My enemy is more powerful than I am. I've said this on a number of occasions, and if I could explain it to you, you'd understand what I'm talking about. I've outgrown about 3 or 4 sets of enemies over my ministry lifetime. I mean, folks that said, we're going to do you in. We'll make sure. I don't know what they thought they were going to do, but some of them had potential power to really hurt us. But you know, they either disappeared or they wish they'd disappeared. Because the Bible said, no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against me in judgment, I'll show to be in the wrong. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. My righteousness is not of me. My righteousness is of Him. Someone said, did you hear what somebody said about me? I said, was it true? That usually stops it right there. If it's not true, just bless them and pray for them. And just go on down the road shouting the victory. My child or my grandchildren have pressing needs. They're not grown yet. My grandchildren are growing. But as I continue to sow love and kindness and help into the lives of other children and other grandchildren, God sends people to help our family. Oh, when our girls were growing up, time after time, God would send somebody to help our girls at a very strategic time. Never will forget one lady that came that had just opened up something that saved so much heartache. Folks, we need to get a grip on this thing. Be careful how you judge someone else's child. Be careful how you judge someone else's grandchild. You may need more grace than that yourself one of these days. When I look at all the needs of my life and Joy and Janet, then when I look at the great task of rebuilding and all the things that we're facing right now, I tell you, we're in deeper waters than we've ever been in, but God's with us every ripple of the water, every wave of the water. We sow more than before, and we watch God send in money supernaturally. You know, somebody would look at people coming forward and think, that ministry has more money than brains. No, you don't. We just know where our strength is. We sow, and so we grow. You see, love is giving your best, asking nothing in return except faith in the seed that you plant. We went to a little restaurant outside the city the other day in a place. We thought no one would know us from anywhere. And this waitress walked up to the table and she said, "Why, Pastor Nichols, Brother and Sister Nichols." She said, "You don't know me. You don't remember me. But 11 years ago in a very desperate time of my life, I walked the aisle in Calvary Cathedral and gave my heart to Jesus." And she said, "God changed my life completely." And she said, "I've lived for this moment wondering if it would ever be when I personally could look you in the face and say, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being faithful to one another. Thank you for being faithful to the ministry. My life has been changed." And she didn't elaborate, but she said, "I couldn't tell you how many people's lives have been changed through the change that came in my life." To God be the glory. You see, let's break this down. Every time I choose to do right, every time I choose to believe the Word of God, every time I choose to obey God, I sow for victory. Every time I choose to, let's just put it down on an individual basis. Every time you go out on stitches, saving the inner city through Christ, hope eternal salvation, So many people said, I'd do anything to go to the mission field. No, you wouldn't, because you won't be faithful to stitches. You go out for a time or two and it gets hot and you didn't get to do your thing, and so you went your way. Every time you go out on stitches and you keep going out on stitches, you go out in the name of the Lord, you're sowing for victory. Every time you pray in the power tower, sounds kind of comical. The Lord has led me not to pray anymore. I've been led not to pray anymore. Do you realize that desperate people all over the Metroplex, it's their lifeline to sanity? I mean, we just got back online. We're in a little trailer. We're not in a tower. We're in a trailer. And God showed me a vision of that little prayer tower. And so it's been about 30 days in being built, but it's built. And by night, the light's on it. It's kind of like the tabernacle of the children of Israel. It's not the big tower. It's not the big throne to come, but it's temporary. But thank God, 24 hours a day, and we're almost back up to 1,000 phone prayer requests a week coming through to the power tower. The power trailer, really, but we call it the power tower. We think big in Texas. Every time I sing in this praise and worship choir, but I'm not on the front. I'm kind of behind somebody. They're bigger than I am. No one can see me sing my song. Well, why are you up here? Are you singing for glory or are you singing for His glory? Every time you sing the high praises of God, you're sowing seeds for victory. I'm trying to show you something here today. Every time you usher, every time you greet somebody, did you know there's a profound something? I've had more people say that someone just shook my hand and said, God bless you, and it was the first kind word I'd had all week. That's a big deal. I'm praying for you. We're glad you came. Really? And they acted like it. A kind word. A kind word. A smile. There's days when a smile is worth the entire day. Visiting the sick in the hospital. Do you know what a smiling faith face looks like when you're loaded down with all those tubes? It's like an angel from heaven. To visit the elderly who are not able to attend church. They were faithful when they could, but they're not able to now. To speak an encouraging word. And I really don't say that much about our radio broadcast. We're over 25 years now into radio broadcasting. But you know, there's people that make I meet people all the time. I do not understand how they hear the voice, and they don't even know what my face looks like. And they say, I know that voice. I know that voice. To me, it's still amazing. But they choose on a daily basis. I've had business people. I've had professional people. I've had students. One man went into a multi-million dollar computer business on the teaching of Joshua chapter 1 several years ago. He said, as I was in my car, I was riveted to the car. I got the tape. I listened to it and listened to it and listened to it. And God gave him the idea for a multi-million dollar computer company. And he sold out for a very good sum. But when you choose to tune into KVTT 91.7 FM, 12 noon Monday through Friday, and when you make the decision, I'm not going to continue in my pity party. You know, some people just can't handle a positive guy. One man told me, and I've had several people, he said, I'd tune in and said, if he says one more positive thing, I'm going to write him a nasty letter. If I hear him say one more time, you can make it, when there's no way I can make it. But said you just didn't back off. You just kept pounding. And if you don't like hearing you can make it, you're in the wrong church. If you don't like hearing God has something better for you, you're not going to be happy around here. I'm not preaching a pie in the sky gospel. I'm preaching you can make it. And you not only barely make it, you can make it in style. And he said, one day, I said, I'm going to tune in one more time. If I hear that positive thing, I don't know. See, the Holy Ghost just wouldn't let him off. And he said, that day you got to me, preacher. He said, I bowed my head on the wheel. He said, I pulled over to the side of the highway. And he said, I judged myself and junk and mess and stuff came out of my spirit. And I got my life right with God. And he said, preacher, he said, you just kept pounding me. You wouldn't back off. You kept giving me no excuse for failure until it finally got to me. Every time when every bone in your body feels like quitting, but you say, I'm not going to quit, you're sowing seeds for victory. All we could ever do and all we could ever be and all we could ever give is not enough. How many think you got a hold of that? Until we mix it with faith. Nothing, 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 pow. Every time you refuse to quit, you sow to win. Every time you choose to praise the Lord and not complain, you win. Every time you choose to go to church, tune in on our radio broadcast or anyone else's that's speaking the Word of God, you sow to win. Every time you say Jesus and cry out, help me, Lord. Every time you come to early prayer, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Every time you bow in prayer. Every time you pray, you sow to win. I'm telling you, you can't see it, you can't feel it. But every time you bow before Him, you sow to win. You start winning. Remember when Moses' hands were lifted up, the battle went well. When his hands fell down, the battle went ill with the children of Israel. Every time you say no to Satan and yes to God, you sow to win over the flesh, the world, and the devil. We made a visit this past week. A little precious V. Forrester lady was with us in the very beginning. She's that woman that came forward in one of those desperate times and said, okay, you men, stand up and help this preacher. Don't let him stand up here and have to raise an offering. Well, she was going through some things, and she's older now than she has been. Her little body doesn't function like it used to. But we were sitting there, and I said, V, she said, Brother Nichols, I just don't feel like my life's counting so much right now. I said, V, let me tell you something. Do you realize that your church is on 24-hour-a-day television in Kampala, Uganda, and this church is the primary support of that? I said, do you realize that we're partners with a television ministry in Grenada? Do you realize we're on the radio 5 days a week? Do you realize that we go out into 8 troubled neighborhoods over a 2-week period of time? Do you realize this church is praying 24 hours a day? Do you realize we're in Mexico and Romania and the Caribbean? And I said, V, every time your little tithe check came into Calvary Cathedral International in that little post office building, you were sowing for victory. Wherever we go, wherever we preach, whatever we do, every soul that is saved, every life that is touched, you're partners with us in that. You say, well, my little retirement tithe doesn't amount. Oh, yes, it does. It's not enough, but it is. It's not enough, but when you give it, it is. Everywhere Calvary Cathedral is ministering, all over the Metroplex, all over the world, you're part of that. You've sown seed in that to reap a great harvest. And I just thought of last Sunday morning, precious little man. Some people were observant. They noticed that he wasn't just dozing or sleeping in church. They observed that something was not right. And so there was prayer that was made for him. MedStar was called. There's a member of this church that is alive today because he was in the right place at the right time to have a problem. Some loving, caring people observed him. They weren't just thinking about their own blessing. They were noticing this man that seemed like he was having some difficulty. And because of their alertness, he's alive today. And then after that, couple goes out and picks up his wife who's in a wheelchair, and then others stay at the hospital, and then several of us rallied around. And you know, I was going home and I said something, and it was late, and I think we were finally the last ones to go because we just told everybody finally to go, and we had to wait on the son. Finally found the son, and he did come. But I said, Joy, you know, God must really love that little man. Look at all the people that cared in one night. And Joy, in her prophetic, realistic way, said, Bob, God loves all of his children. God loves all of His children. Some of them may seem to be recipients of His love in a greater way. But think of a man that's very quiet, hardly, you know, very few people really know that much, but they observed him and loved him and prayed for him, and he's alive today. Somebody sowed some seed. Somebody sowed some seed. Somebody was willing to sit in a hospital room. Somebody was willing to go pick up an invalid wife. Somebody was willing to stand in the hedge and make up the gap. And the prophet of God said, servant, go feed these hungry 100 prophets. And the servant of God got out his little TI calculator and he said, it won't work. It's not enough. And can you imagine the fire that was in Elisha's eyes when he said again, you would not have wanted to be that servant and have observed the fire in Elisha's eyes. Go feed the people. No crybabies, no whining, no excuses. Go do the word of God. And as he went, according to the word of God, they were all fed and food was left over. And my message in a nutshell is this. Your little bit is not enough, but it is enough, because when you give in faith believing, your little bit that's not enough becomes more than enough. And every need is met.